What's up, Chicago? Guess what? That's right. It is Wednesday, September the 14th, 2016. And Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side Studios, located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And we have an outstanding show for you on today. Today's topic, man, this should be good. This should be good. Six bad habits Christians really need to drop. Six bad habits Christians. That's us they talking about, y'all. That's us. Six bad habits Christians need to drop. That's going to be the topic of the show. And, man, should be good, should be good. I'm excited about it. But, look, let me get a rundown on what's going on. As always, it's your boy, your host, Minister Dana L. King, in the studio by myself. And guess what, y'all? Got the silent partners in. I guess he in here supervising or something. You know, must have heard something. So he decided he's going to come in and just supervise from behind over there. That's all right. How you doing, sir? Everything's well? He gave me the thumbs up. Okay, that's good. So we are all good. But look, let me give y'all the rundown of how you can contact the show. If you're already listening on the phone and you've already called in and you're using your mobile device to listen, simply push 1 and you can be a part of the show. If you are listening via Blog Talk Radio, real simple, simply call area code 347-934-0546. Again, that phone number is area code 347-934-0546. If you are on social media, you can catch us there. Simply go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio, and you can find us there. If you want to tweet the show, real simple, you can tweet the show. That's at TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. If you want to email the show, I've got lovely email. It's always email on the show. TakingTheLimitsOff@Comcast.net. TakingTheLimitsOff@Comcast.net. Let's see here. What did I miss? Oh, man. Oh, can't forget the live stream. The live stream of the show is up and running. Ustream. That's y'all over here. Hey, what's going on? Ustream. We're up and running. Simply go to Ustream.tv. Do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon. I've told y'all, if y'all hit the subscribe button, you won't even have to search for it. You'll get the email with the link already sent to you. It's real simple to do. But for those of you who might be new today, simply go to Ustream.tv, do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us there. And Facebook Live. Facebook Live is up and running, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, we live on Facebook too. Yeah, so we live everywhere, man. This is wonderful. Facebook Live is up and running. All you have to do is go to Facebook.com, go to TTLO, Facebook.com/TTLO, and you will see that right there. That would be me, the guy wearing the gray polo shirt. Hey, what's up, y'all? That's me. All right. So look here. Looking forward to today's show. Should be good. So much stuff's going on. Oh, and last but not least, iTunes. Man, go to your iTunes account. Subscribe to the podcast, man. Go ahead and do that real quick. Go to iTunes. Do a search under the podcast section for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon. And you'll see us right there. And hit the subscribe button. Won't cost you nothing. I mean, it is free 99. And everybody likes free, right? I don't know nobody that don't like free. Let me see who's watching right now already coming in on Facebook. What's up, Miss Angela Johnson and Miss Yolanda King? How are you? How are you? I see y'all done popped in. I see y'all done popped in early. Y'all the first ones. And now I see you. I see you. All right. All right. Keep coming. Keep coming. And those of you on Ustream, I got my anonymous viewers. Ustream, see, this is about Facebook. See, when Facebook people come in on Facebook, if you are a friend of mine and you come in on the Facebook page, I see you. I see your name, your picture pop up, or whatever your profile pic is. Over here on Ustream, when y'all come in on Ustream, y'all miss this. This must be my secret society of TTLO listeners over here, because y'all just pile in and all of your profiles say anonymous 3565, anonymous 2575, anonymous. I ain't mad at you, because I like my anonymity as well, although as of doing this show, I no longer have any. But it was good while it lasted. It was good while it lasted. Look, y'all, so much to talk about, but it's one thing I really want to talk about real quick. Yesterday, man, real quick, and I must say this because I didn't get a chance to say it Monday because it wasn't really today, and today is the day after, but I'm going to say it. So yesterday, my mother, let me say this again, my mother, you know, the one that birthed me in the whole world, yeah, my mama, yesterday celebrated her 66th, y'all told her whole age, her 66th. birthday. That's right. Y'all better act like you know something about it. That's right. You celebrated her 66th birthday on yesterday. That's right. That's right. So I want to send a big shout out to my mother, Cheryl Denise King. I just put her whole name all on the airwaves, but she's going to be all right. But she celebrated her 66th birthday on yesterday. And, man, it's a wonderful thing. And as she said, as the guy told her yesterday when I went to pick her up from work, the man said, "You don't look like you know 66. I said, "Well, if she don't look like she's 66, then I sure must not look like I'm 46. I took all of that compliment, even though it wasn't meant for me. I just went on and borrowed it real quick for myself. So that's that's what I did. But again, big shout out to my mom. Yesterday celebrated her 66th birthday on yesterday. So man, I always decided to spend some time with her. And man, if you don't, I'm gonna tell you this right now. Those of you all who can, you know, spend some time with your moms when you can, man. Spend some time with your moms when you can. I know I don't spend as much as I should, but I have been better. Amen. Y'all move on. Don't jump on me. Don't jump on me. Don't come up here calling me with no mess either. Anyway. Okay. So let's keep it going. Let's keep going. So look, y'all, yesterday. So I was out, you know, yesterday for a little while. And I saw this thing. Actually, when I came back in the house yesterday, I had one of the monster headaches, too. I don't even want to talk about that part. But yesterday on Fox News, I saw the alert on Facebook. I don't know if y'all saw this or not yesterday, but I posted it on my Facebook page yesterday. So there was this guy in California on yesterday, this guy in California who led the California Highway Patrol on a three-hour pursuit through the hills of California. He went from San Bernardino all the way to one place, turned around, and came back. For 3 hours, he led this pursuit in a semi-truck. Y'all hear me? A semi-truck. In a semi-truck. He kept them there. Now, 3 hours, this thing went, y'all. 3 hours. I got one thing to say. One of the things that stuck out in my mind instantly was, okay, 3 hours. How much longer is this going to go? And then I decided that I was going to get a little curious. And so I just turned to the broadcast to see what it was. And what I found was the good Cardinal, Michael Henderson, bless you, sir, bless you. I turned to the channel, and as I was watching the channel, the helicopter zoomed in on the person driving the semi-truck. And as he zoomed in, I just, you know, he pointed out that it was a Caucasian driving the semi-truck. Now, I know this might not go over well with some of my listeners right now, but let me just say this. Y'all know good and well, had a brother been driving a semi-truck and the popo had told brother man to pull over in said semi-truck and he had not pulled over, oh, let's just say about the first 15 to 25 minutes, brother man would have then been, I'm just going to say, they would have stopped the truck. Let me just say this. And that, now, mind you, yes, he's in a semi, so you can't really do the pit maneuver. I don't know if y'all know what the pit maneuver is. The pit maneuver is when the police car speeds up to the back of your car, and then he gets on, like, the driver's side of the car, and then he taps the back end of the police car with the front end of his car, which then causes you to spin out. That's the what they call the pit maneuver. But watch this. Don't ask me how I know. Trust me. Just trust me when I tell you. Although I tell you this, the pit maneuver won't work on me because you got to catch me first. Let me stop. Anyway. So they followed dude. Literally, the video is still up on my page, so you can watch. You can go and watch it. But they followed him for over 3 hours. They were communicating with him. They called him on the phone and on the radio that was in the truck. And he said, and watch this now. Listen, and if you listen to the video, the news commentator from the helicopter said, well, you know, although there's a crime taking place, he's driving the speed limit. This is the reporter now. He's driving the speed limit. He's obeyed all the traffic laws. He slowed down when he got into the intersections. He's even putting his signal on when he changes lane. Really? Really? That's what y'all gonna share today. You gonna share that with me that he was committing. Now mind you, he done stole the truck. Now mind you this too. The truck supposedly had hazardous materials. Once again, I'll point this out. Might not be important to y'all, but I think it's important. The driver was Caucasian. So stay with me. Stay with me now. Stay with me. So the driver, watch out now. The driver, the driver drives all the way back almost to the very location from where he stole the truck. They didn't do anything. He pulls into a truck stop. You know, the rest stops on the side of the road. He parks. Y'all ready for this? He parks the truck, gets out of the truck, and just gets on his knees. And the nice officer comes up. He does not tackle him to the ground. He does not put a boot to the back of his head. You know what he does? He puts his hand in the small of his back, pushes him over on his He didn't push him down on his belly. He left him. Watch this. He just grabbed one hand. He told him to put both his hands on top of his head. He was as gentle. I promise you, you would have thought he was arresting his mama. He put one arm behind the back, cuffed him. He's talking to him the whole time. He put the other arm behind his back, and they sat there with the man all nice and calm on his knees. This is what happened. Now, y'all going to sit up and try to tell me a whole bunch of stuff and Dana ain't about race and all this other stuff. Okay. All right. Y'all can tell me what you want to tell me. And you can say whatever you want to say. But don't tell me what I didn't see. And don't tell me what would not may have happened. Yes, I am speculating, but I am going to say this. I believe had the driver been someone who looked like me, hell, I'll go so far as to say had it been me driving, I wouldn't be on the radio ever again, and y'all probably would never see me on this side of the camera. Huh? Come on now. Y'all know it's the truth. But this happened in California, the California Highway Patrol. Y'all know the member of the show, Chips? That's who was following them the whole time, the Chips, the whole group, Punch, John, all of them. They were following the man, I mean, for 3 hours. And nothing happened for 3 hours because he obeyed all the signs. He wasn't speeding. He wasn't putting anybody's life in danger. He wasn't doing any of those things. So really? Really? That's where we are, huh? That's where we are. So anyway, I just had to share that, man, because that made me feel some kind of way. I don't know about y'all, but it made me feel some kind of way. It really did. It really did. Okay, so we talked about that. All right. So then we got this thing. This is something big that's coming up, and I really think we need to be a part of this. So on Saturday, you guys know I do this thing with the Stop the Violence crew on Wednesdays. And we're out on the corner of Central and Madison every Wednesday because that's what the community has asked us to do. So we're out there every Wednesday. However, on Saturday the 24th, throughout the entire city of Chicago, they are having what's being called. Let me make sure I get the name of this thing right here. It's being called Chicago Calls for Peace. Chicago Calls for Peace. What they want to have happen is this is Father Michael Flager and community activist Jamal Green. They're calling for Chicago from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock, 1 hour. 1 hour, y'all. And because this is before my bowling time, I can make it. 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock. They're asking people all over the city, wherever you are in your neighborhood, to just combine with some other people in your neighborhood and just come out for 1 hour. This is what it says. It says, if you are a Chicago leader, activist, clergy, business person, community organizer, we need your participation. On Saturday, September 24th, from 12 to 1 p.m., we are asking all of Chicago to turn out for peace all over the city, wherever you are. So he's not asking, Father Flake's not asking you to come to the South Side. He's not asking, can I say this? If you can't get none but three folk from your church to go outside, I'm not trying to denigrate your actions behind it, but if you can partner up with somebody else who got 10 folk or somebody else who got 20, don't isolate yourself to three people. Can I help? I ain't going to get no amens. That's okay. Can you not isolate yourself to the three people that's going to come outside your church? If they're asking for us to show unity and come outside, come on. If they're asking you to show unity and come outside, then I'm going to suggest that you partner up with another organization in your same community now. So, for instance, if you're in East Garfield Park, there's a bunch of churches who are going to be participating down there. Partner up with one of them if your numbers are small. If you're in Austin, there's a bunch of people who are going to be a part of it. You don't have to isolate yourself to one small corner. That's all I'm saying. So, again, this is September 24th. I'm going to reload the video. Let me make sure I share this video with y'all real quick. Yeah, there it is. Okay. So let me share that with y'all real quick. But it's one of those things that's necessary, man. You gotta make sure you participate in this thing. It's necessary. It's for 1 hour on Saturday, September the 24th, from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock. In the words of James Brown, hit it and quit it. Out there real quick. Just get on out there, stand up, have your music, do whatever it is you're going to do, and represent in your community. So whatever organization you are, I don't care what church, I don't care what faith-based organization, I don't care what fraternity, I don't care what lodge, it doesn't matter. Get out somewhere in your particular community on that day, September 24th, partner up with somebody. And guess what this means? If you don't know who's doing it, then here's an email. They're saying, please message or email ChicagoCallsForPeace@gmail.com. ChicagoCallsForPeace@gmail.com for more information. Let me put this up here again. I'm going to put this up here. I'm going to put this in the chat for those of you. You can share this. Let me share this to the TTLO page real quick so y'all can see it. That way y'all ain't looking at me like I'm crazy. But just go ahead and do that real quick. But again, that email is ChicagoCallsForPeace@gmail.com. If you do that, if you email them and let them know where you are, I'm sure they will send you back something to let you know who else is going to be out in your area. This is necessary, y'all. This is necessary. Over 500 people killed in the month of August. 500. 3,000 already for the year. But 500 in August. It's necessary that we play a part in this. So whatever you got to do on Saturday, I know we got busy lives. I know we're kind of all over the place. I understand. Trust me, more than you know, I understand. But if you could put an hour aside to come out on Saturday, September the 24th, I believe it would behoove you to come out and stand with your brothers and sisters in the community and let them know you care. Maybe you're not able to come out on Wednesdays because you're not off work in time, or maybe you're just not, you know, you live in the suburbs. But guess what? Even those of you who live in the suburbs and you have to drive through the city of Chicago, you want to be safe when you drive through, don't you? You want to be safe when you drive through. So we're asking on September 24th, this Chicago calls for peace, man. Y'all need to be out somewhere. Get your groups together, get your people together, and come out, man. It is necessary. This is something that they're going to be doing all over the city. So get your groups, and let's stop having all these little different splintered groups. Let's get a bunch of people to show up. So if you're in Austin, we should have one huge group in Austin. And if we find out we got a whole lot of us in Austin that's going to show up, then guess what? Then maybe we take over two corners in Austin. But either way, they're doing it all over the city. So I just put up the information, ChicagoCallsForPeace@gmail.com. This is something that Father Flager and another organizer are doing, but they want to do it all over the city of Chicago. So if you're able to do this, South Side, West Side, North Side, East Side, wherever part of Chicago you're in, you really ought to do this, man. This is necessary. We need this in our city. And I know you're going, people are probably, you know, I know I got my doubters. Well, what's 1 hour going to do? Let me ask you this. What have you done? So before you start questioning what 1 hour can do, 1 hour might save somebody's life. That 1 hour that some kid or some person is out at your event might stop them from going out and causing harm or being harmed by somebody in that 1 hour. So don't tell me what, don't ask the question what 1 hour can do. Okay? So, again, I think this is something we really, really, really need to take advantage of, y'all. So, again, this is going to be on Saturday, September the 24th, from 12 to 1. So, what was that? One for God, Lewis and the crew, STV, Jody and the crew. Man, all y'all need to get together. Holy Ground, you got, man, y'all come on out, figure out, let us know where you're going to be, and let's fill the place up. Even if we hit right back down there on Central, and if we use Emmett parking lot again, and we stretch out all the way on the Madison Street, let's not just not be in the parking lot. Let's just stretch all the way out. In the words of that song, that gospel song, just stretch out. Just stretch out. So let's do this, man. September 24th from 12 to 1. Y'all let me know what's going on. But that's the email, ChicagoCallsForPeace@gmail.com. ChicagoCallsForPeace@gmail.com. Okay. All right, y'all got it? Good. All right, so look, check it out. I'm going to take a real quick break, right? I'm going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to talk about something. Y'all seen this Donald Trump mess and this doctor's note, and y'all know Donald Trump was on Dr. Oz today. He recorded a show on Dr. Oz today about his supposed health, because, you know, he attacking Hillary for having pneumonia. So he was on there. We're going to talk about that when I get back, y'all, because I don't know who y'all, you know, do any of my listeners plan on voting for Trump? I mean, if you are, I'm not trying to tell you who to vote for, but I would really like to know why. And I know it's kind of brave. You don't have to, I'm not going to ask you your name. I don't need you to tell me none of that stuff. I just want to know why. And I know I got listeners everywhere. So I'm going to need y'all to help a brother out. Yeah, just explain to me. But we're going to take a break, right? We're going to take a break. I'm going to give y'all take a real quick break, right? And when we come back, we're gonna jump into a little bit more of this conversation. Let me get y'all a little bit of this old school, right? I'm gonna give you some old school, some of this Daryl Coley. He's preparing me. Now don't y'all shout while I'm gone. But if you feel like it, go ahead. Be right back. TTLO.
Preparing me.
To that, and you know, you need to ask. You need, I guess, the question we ought to ask is, what is God preparing you for? That's a question. What is God preparing you for? You know, somebody might be going through something at this exact moment, and you might not understand why. But the question you ought to ask is, what is He preparing you for? Because the reason you're going through what you're going through is actually just a preparation to get you ready for something. Come on, see, that would preach by itself right there. I just want you to really ask yourself a question. What is God preparing you for? This trial, this tribulation, this sickness, whatever it is, the reason you're getting ready, you're going through it, it's not just because, you know, God just wants you to be in pain. God just wants you to be hurt. He wants your heart to be broke, all this stuff. No. You are being prepared for something great. There's a lot of work left to be done in the kingdom. And if you are a part of the kingdom, but being a part of the kingdom comes with some suffering, right? Being a part of the kingdom comes with some suffering. So you have to recognize that He's preparing you for something greater. And in order for Him to get you ready, you're going to have to go through. You need to be tested. You need to be tried in the fire. We need to find out whether or not you're going to melt. Huh? You got to be put in, man. Everybody has to go through something. Everybody has to go through something. And you have to go through something in order to get to something. Come on. And I said this before, God would never lead you anywhere to just leave you anywhere. He doesn't lead you someplace and then leave you. He leads you there for a reason, and He leads you there, L-E-A-D. He does not leave you there, L-E-A-V-E. That's why when people recite the 23rd number of Psalm all the time. Yea, though I walk through the valley, that part, you know, that yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know why He would fear no evil? Because because thou art with me. But notice He said walk through. He didn't say yea, though I go and sit in. Come on, somebody. That's okay. Amen, Dana. It's okay. But He didn't say, yea, though I sit in the valley and wait for something bad to happen. No. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley. And then He said, why? Because thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So as I'm walking through and mess start to show up on both sides, I got this rod and this staff that's going to keep all of the food. Yeah, I might get hit a couple times in the process, but I'm going to get through because the Bible said, yea, though I walk. I preached on Sunday. I still got a little bit left, though. Come on, somebody. Anyway, y'all, so look here. Hillary Clinton, we talked about this on Monday, Hillary Clinton with the pneumonia, and, you know, she couldn't hardly walk to the car. She was dehydrated and all this other stuff. Okay. So, you know, Donald Trump had been talking for a little while about, you know, Hillary Clinton's health, you know, her coughing spell, blah, 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 all this other stuff. So he, because he's been making all these changes and talk on all these comments, rather, questions to say, well, Donald, you haven't released no tax form. Ain't nobody seen your health, like no health records from you. The only thing he released health-wise was from some quack doctor of his that wrote a note, and in Donald Trump's doctor's note, it says he is in outstanding, superb medical condition. That's it. What does that mean? Now, don't get me wrong. The office of president, I guess, is the only job that you have to divulge your medical records up front. Because I believe it's against the law to ask somebody about their medical condition for any other job. I believe I've been around the HR dough for a little while, and I don't believe you can ask anybody, do you have any medical conditions when you're applying for a job? I guess the office of the president is the only one where I guess that rule is kind of pushed to the side. How the ever. So Donald Trump says he went and took a physical. And he brings a general, I guess, some sort of a printout, and he decides to give it to Dr. Oz on the Dr. Oz show. So today, they recorded the show. I guess we won't see it until tomorrow or the next day. But he recorded this live show. What's up, Ustream? I see y'all just coming on in. I told y'all, if y'all come in the room on Ustream, y'all got to speak now. Say something. Say hello. The peoples is here. So he released this record. And he had Dr. Oz read this general statement, and then apparently he took questions. But then here's the other thing. Donald Trump and his supporters have been saying this for weeks about his charity giving, that Mr. Trump has given tens of millions of dollars away to charities. Tens of millions. So not 10 million, because when I hear tens of millions, I think more than 10 million. So all these reporters outside of Fox News, because, you know, they don't care, but CNN and MSNBC and ABC News and NBC News, all these people, they've been doing some fact checking. And the only fact checking that they have found is totals out to the amount of somewhere roughly around $1,500,000. Wait a minute. I just read this comment. Donald Trump has a pre-existing medical condition. It's called crazy. Unfortunately, you may be right. You may be right. But unfortunately, in this country, crazy does not disqualify you from running for president, i.e. Sarah Palin. And don't forget, Dick Cheney was vice president. So, I mean, crazy don't really disqualify you, but I appreciate the comment. But crazy don't disqualify you, but he does have a pre-existing condition. You may be right. You may be right. Oh, goodness. Oh, my. So anyway, y'all, I just thought that was kind of insane that he goes on a Dr. Oz show. He went on Dr. Oz to make it, I guess that's going to give it some credibility. Cause you went on Dr. Oz. I mean, bruh, you know, and then if you gave away tens of millions of dollars, let me ask you this question. That would be in your tax, papers, right? Huh? If you done gave away tens of millions of dollars, the IRS got to know. If you done gave away tens of millions of dollars, trust me, for the money that I give, the IRS definitely know. They definitely know outside of my church giving, because I don't report that, because I don't claim it. I don't claim it. Let's move on. I'm just simply saying, how you saying you gave away tens of, but see, he has not released any of his tax report, none of his tax returns, any. And he says it's because he's being audited. And he's waiting for the audit to finish. And first he said it was an IRS audit. And now he's come back and said it's an internal audit. And he's not going to release anything until the audit is done. So, you know, again, let me ask this question. So I got my people watching on Ustream, my people listening on Blog Talk and watching on Facebook Live. I'm going to ask this question. I don't want to know. I don't need to know. If you're voting for this guy, please help me understand why. Y'all can, you can just, you know, those of you in on Ustream, you can just type it because y'all anonymous and you don't want to call in, but you can call in. The phone number is area code 347-934-0546. Again, the phone number is area code 347-934-0546. I just want you to be able to call in and, you know, you can call in and you can tell me, or you can just type it right there and let me know. I just want to know why. Tell me what about him you believe is going to help this country. Either way, I ain't trying to judge you. I ain't finna have a fight with you. I'm not going to embarrass you on the radio. I just really want to get an understanding as to why you think this guy is good for America. Let me say this again. I don't like either candidate. Let me say this again. I've said this from the beginning. I think they both messy. But as somebody said so eloquently to me a few months ago, it's like picking the dog with the least amount of fleas. So, I mean, you know, who going to make you itch the least? That's the one you got to go with. I mean, I'm sorry. I know. I'm sorry. I'm just saying. I don't like either one of them. But it's like, okay. You know, I don't know. Anyway. So we do have this. We have this article, right? It is 6 bad habits Christians should drop. 6 bad habits Christians should drop. So before we get to that, I just want to make sure that everybody has all the information. So look, if you're on the line, you push 1 with your questions and or comments. Again, I saw some comments about the upcoming event on September 24th. Let me make sure I get those out. I don't want to make sure I didn't miss anybody's comment. But the comments, September 24th, it's Father Flager and a couple of community activists have called for this Peace in Chicago deal. And it's on September 24th from 12 to 1, from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. They're asking you to show up in your community or go and represent another community for 1 hour on that Saturday where we all file out into the street, into a specific area all over the city of Chicago. So it's not just the South Side. It's not just one location. As many locations as we possibly can. I want to make sure we got that understanding. It's in as many locations as we can possibly be in. They're asking for people to come out, and it's on September the 24th. It's for 1 hour. I like this comment. We'll stand in line for Jordans for 1 hour. You're right. Some people stand in line all night for a pair of Jordans. All night long. They're standing like their new iPhone. When does it come out? When is it out? Is it in the stores yet? Is it out already? Because did they have a line out for that? I mean, really, is it a line out for that? I'm just curious. I just want to know if you can stand in line for that, can you stand in line for peace? Can you stand in line for peace? So that's just something that I just want to know. Just something I want to know. Why is my mama texting me in the middle of the show? I don't know. I'm going to need y'all to talk to my mama. Her birthday was yesterday. I'm going to need her stop texting me on the air. Anyway, let's. Oh, God. Okay. Anyway, so look, y'all. We do have this great article, right? We have this great article, and I want to jump into it. I know it's a little short, but it's good enough where we can have some conversation about it, and we can spend a lot of good times on the points. It's got about 6 points. It's got about 6 points to the article, but we definitely want to talk about it. Definitely want to talk about it. All right, so let me make sure I got this thing up here. You know what? Somebody help my mama talk about. She says, are you on the – let me read this. See, this is why I get in trouble. My mama texts me and says, are you on the radio today? Now, for those of you all listening to this show and have been listening for a while, I rarely, if ever, miss a show. Then I responded to her. I said, yes, mother, right now I am on the air right now at this moment. Her response to me is, it's not on Facebook. Y'all, somebody help my mama. Can one of y'all help my mama with the link? Somebody, because I can't. Somebody, Tanya, can you send my mama the link? Somebody, please help her. Any of y'all listening, any of y'all watching on Facebook, can y'all just share the link with my mama? Because apparently she can't find it or something. Because I see myself and I see y'all watching on Facebook. So apparently she is somewhere else on some other channel. Maybe she watches somebody else's show. I don't know. Oh, Lord, help us all, Jesus, help us all. Okay, so we have this good article, right? 6 bad habits Christians should drop. This article is on relevantmagazine.com. It's on relevantmagazine.com. We've used their articles before. It's actually pretty good. Again, it's on relevantmagazine.com. The writer is Stephen Mattson. Stephen Mattson. He's got his own blog site, StephenMatson.com, StephenMatson.com. But it's on RelevantMagazine.com is where the article is. And that's where we are. I'm trying to give everybody a chance to get to it. Everybody, y'all got the article. Let me share the article with the people on Facebook. Let me share the article. Now, see, this only happens for people who have not subscribed to the show. Because, see, when you subscribe to the show, you get the article. You get the article, you get all the information and all that. Let me give it to the people over here on Ustream. When you subscribe to the show, you get the article. All right, my Ustream viewers, here y'all go. All right, so everybody got the article, right? All right. I'm gonna pray that my mama make it to the viewing or something at some point. All right. I'm gonna pray that she make it to the viewing. Wait a minute, we just got an email. Uh oh, I probably got myself in trouble. Let me see what email say. Email says, oh, they're talking about Trump. This is from my other mama. Says, those records don't belong to Trump. Those were somebody else's medical report. You might be right, too. You might be right. Okay, one of y'all done sent my mama the link. Thank you, Tanya. She sent you the link. All right, because she say I ain't on. My mama say I ain't on Facebook, but all these people watching. Somebody is doing it. All right, let's move on, y'all. Let's jump into the article. All right, I see y'all. If you just climbed on the line, we're about to have the conversation. Six bad habits Christians should drop. Six bad habits Christians really need to drop. That's the conversation. If you want to jump in, you want to be a part of the conversation, just push one. And you can be a part of the show with your questions and your comments. We were going to have a guest today. He said he was coming in, but he didn't. But it's all good. And I ain't going to pick on him. Oh, wait a minute. See, soon as I say something, a number pops up on the screen, and they have asked to be a part of the show. Now, I'm going to push this. Y'all pray, because, you know, y'all pray this don't get me in no trouble. I think I recognize the number. Sir, is that you?
This is the co-host.
This is who? Please say that again. I missed it.
This is the co-host, Pastor Dew, Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, Chicago, Illinois. How you doing, my brother?
I'm so honored that you found a few moments out of your busy schedule to join us on today, Dr.
My brother, listen, I've been listening since about 12. Off and on, and when I got the cue of push one, if you want to be a part of the conversation, I push one because I really want to be engaged with these six habits that Christians should break.
Okay. How are you, sir?
I'm blessed. I'm thanking God for the favor that he has extended to us collectively and to me individually, and certainly to my family. And happy birthday to your mother, and my prayers go out to your family and church, and to your wonderful pastor and all of the great people at your church.
Okay. How are things at Antioch, sir?
Man, listen, we're kicking off our fall soul winning crusade tonight at 7 o'clock featuring Dr. Roosevelt Walker and the New Memorial Missionary Baptist Church family. Our children and youth ministry choir and praise dancers are featured worship leaders for tonight, and we're casting a broad net for a great catch in the name of the Lord. Amen. We do two things at the Antioch Church. Two habits that every Christian ought to have, and that is winning the loss and making disciples. That's what we do.
All right. Winning the loss and making disciples. That's the Antioch Church. In case y'all don't know, that's Pastor Joel M. Dew. He's been on the show several times. He's supposed to be my new co-host here on Wednesdays, but you know,
I am. I am.
You are?
Not supposed to be. I am.
Well, we ain't seen you on this side of town in about a month.
Thank God for modern technology and my capacity to be engaged on today. I was in Los Angeles on last week for our national convention, and the week prior to that was conducting on behalf of the show, was conducting revival services in Houston, Texas. So all of the great people at the Greater Hope Church, Dr. Moses Jones is the pastor, sends a shout out to you and to your listening audience as we pay you tribute in our absence.
Well, I thank you. Quick question, because the Baptist convention was last week. Could you give us a little insight on give us a quick synopsis on the occurrences that took place at the Baptist the Missionary Baptist Convention? Let me make sure I say the right one now. Is that the one y'all went to, right?
Yes, sir. That's the one we're members of. That's the one we attended.
Right. Okay.
Well, there was a great effort to raise $100,000 towards the building of a headquarters building in Dallas, Texas. I think the goal was $100,000. I think they raised like 60-something thousand towards that, which is, I would call it, the lion's share of the amount that was the goal. And the individual meetings with the auxiliaries were all healthy and helpful and engaging. So we had a good time. It was in Los Angeles. That's always a good place to go. And Dr. Melvin Von Wade was probably the highlight of the whole convention, who preached on Wednesday night. And a young man named Xavier, can't remember his last name, he preached Sunday night. And he talked about truth is dead in the streets. And he preached a magnificent sermon that really kind of gave a theological perspective to the violence and crime that permeates our communities. And the reality is people have abandoned righteousness and have forsaken truth. And so truth is dead in the streets. But as Christ rose from the dead, so too can truth be resurrected. Because he did say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so if we can lift him, then he will lift us.
Amen. So look, Pastor, we're going to go ahead and jump on into this conversation. You chime in when you're ready. Excuse me. We're going to jump into that real quick. So this, again, everybody, this is on relevantmagazine.com. This is a great resource, again, a very good resource for Christian reading materials. I mean, I understand we read our Bibles, but there's also plenty of other resources that are Bible-based. And this is a good one, relevantmagazine.com. Six bad habits Christians should drop, keeping Jesus the center of our faith. The writer says this: Christians are known for doing some good things, helping the poor, feeding the hungry, caring for the sick, uplifting the downtrodden, fighting for injustice, and many other feats of love. But Christians also own a poor reputation for numerous bad habits. Here are six things we must stop doing. Six things we, meaning us, Christian folk, must stop doing. The first one, he says, is being judgmental. He says, one of the few sins Jesus repeatedly warns his followers not to do is to be judgmental. Despite this, many Christians mistakenly assume that withholding judgment is a form of accepting, condoning, and even affirming sin. But judgment from Christians doesn't determine whether a particular belief, action, or lifestyle is either wrong or righteous in the eyes of God. Pastor Gerald M. Du.
Yes.
that was your cue, sir.
I see. Well, the description and the definition of judging and being judgmental that the writers of the article are giving might be debatable.
Okay.
That being said, Scripture is clear as it relates to judge not lest ye be judged, for with the judgment that you use on others will be the same mm-hmm. judgment that God will use on you.
Yes.
And so the other side, though, teaches us that you will know the tree by the fruit that it bears. And so maybe we should drop the habit of being judgmental, but maybe mm-hmm. adopt the habit of being fruit inspectors, so that we're sure, you know, we're just looking at what a person is doing, because actions certainly speak louder than words. And it is very difficult to make wise decisions without mm-hmm. sound judgment. And I don't think you can have sound judgment without judging a situation or a circumstance
okay.
or a condition or a person or a relationship. And so judging in terms of analyzing information for the purpose of quality decision making, I think, is mandatory. But trying to determine whether a person is going to heaven or hell, you know what is righteous and what is unrighteous, I think we step over the line and may be engaging in that which is only God's area of authority and responsibility.
Okay. I think the habit
of judging that the author mm-hmm. are dealing with is stepping in the role of God. Nobody made us God. You know,
right.
So we don't have the power to damn people to hell, and you know,
right.
you go into hell because you wear braids or jeans or pants to church or whatever. You know, let's stay in our lane and win the lost and make disciples, and let God, you know, weed out all that other stuff. While on the other hand, you know, you do have to, you know, a tree is known by the fruit it bears. You know, if it quacks like a duck and walk like a duck and water run off the back like it's a duck, you know, then it's probably not a cat.
I think that the thing that stuck out is the part where he says, when we assume that withholding judgment is a form of accepting. Because we, you know, some people, because they, like, it's like what you said, because they don't know how to approach a particular situation, they withhold saying anything. And because we don't see them say anything, we assume, the assumption is, it's accepted, because there is never a
conversation. Well, no, that's not an assumption. That's reality. in every culture, in every context, silence gives consent.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And so the question is, how do I address it without mm-hmm. appearing to be judgmental?
Okay.
And I think that everybody is entitled to their opinion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Amen. Amen. Let's keep going. The second one. Number two says, predicting the future. He says, the gospel message of Christ's love is often overshadowed by misguided Christians who make predictions and prophecies about political affairs, planetary alignments, environmental phenomena, current events, natural disasters, the Antichrist, end times, and the apocalypse. He says, when this happens, they inevitably blame a particular person or people group they assume are responsible for God's wrath and are actually participating in a sinful form of divination, fear-mongering, and dishonesty.
That's a unique perspective, you know, because the rebuttal, and I have to have a rebuttal, and I understand, you know, conceptually where the author is coming from,
right.
in terms of the habit of predicting the future,
mm-hmm.
because if you say Jesus is coming on September the 22nd, 2018, you know, then, you know, that's not correct.
Right.
But to say Jesus can come at any time based upon the conditions of then you're, mm-hmm. you're accurate. You know, you're accurate.
Okay.
Because mm-hmm. because Scripture gives us prophecy. And it's mm-hmm. not that Christians are predicting the future. It's that we're interpreting the prophecy. Now, can the mm-hmm. prophecies be misinterpreted? Absolutely. Therein lies, I think, the place that great care must be taken, is to not misinterpret and not misapply the prophecies that are contained in Scripture.
Do you think part of the issue with is that we have all these, I don't know what other word to use other than false, but we have, unfortunately, we've been inundated with so many false prophets that the ones that are probably true prophets, they get overshadowed.
Well, what I want to say is not necessarily the true prophet versus the false prophet,
It
is the accurate interpretation of biblical prophecy as opposed to the inaccurate interpretation and application of biblical prophecy. I can be a true prophet.
Yes.
But if I interpret biblical prophecy incorrectly, then I'm leading people astray, even though I'm as true in my prophecy as anybody. Case in point, Apollos, who was preaching but had not yet heard of the coming of the Holy Spirit.
He was a true
preacher, but he didn't have the whole story. So it wasn't until Priscilla and Aquila pulled him to the side and gave him the rest of his education that then, allowed him to have a more accurate ministry.
Amen. Amen. That's good stuff. So here's a not really a serious question, but it is a question. Because I was kind of joking, the football. Are you a football fan, an NFL football fan, sir? Do you watch football?
I'm a sports fan.
Okay. Well, I am a sports fan as well, and the football season started on Sunday. And I asked my
last Thursday.
Last Thursday, you're right. I'm sorry. Thank you for the correction. It started last Thursday. So, as usual, for the last 5 years or so on Facebook, I have been putting up my quote-unquote prediction for the Bears season. And five out of 5 years in a row, I have been correct. So I asked my producer, your friend, LT.
Not to be confused with TL.
Right. Not to be confused with TL. I asked my friend.
LT is LaTanya, right?
Right. And TL.
And TL is the Lord. Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
All right.
Okay. So I was asking my producer, I said, do you think because my predictions have gone so well for the last 5 years, does that now qualify me or elevate me to prophet status? I just want to know. I'm getting the thumbs down from my silent partner sitting in the studio, but I just want to know because I have been accurate all the time.
Well, it is possible. It is possible to have a specifically particular narrow area of prophetic ministry. Of prophetic ministry that would only relate to the Chicago
football.
Bears in the 20, football in the 21st century. In the 21st century.
Amen. I just thought I would ask the question.
North America. I mean, it's real narrow. It might
real narrow.
You might be the person. But now my question
yes, sir.
Is. What was your prediction based on? Was it based on a study of the team, the roster?
It's based solely the
opponents, the opponents, the coaches, the experience of the coaching staff. I mean, what was it based on? You just guess or what?
No. You said you used. I'm gonna use the terminology you just used a few minutes ago. Fruit inspector, right? I inspected the fruit, and there is a rotten apple at the quarterback position. And as long as that rotten apple is at the quarterback position, I prophesy they ain't gonna see not a damn playoff, not a damn.
I see. Okay. Well.
And
well,
7-9.
Five for five. Ain't bad. Five for five ain't bad.
Okay.
That ain't bad.
Let's move on. I know folks think I'm crazy, and I am, but it's all right. Let's move on. all right, so the writer goes, the third one is overcomplicating the love of Jesus. Again, we're talking about six bad habits Christians should drop, overcomplicating the love of Jesus. The writer says this, there comes a point, unfortunately, in the Christian journey when many start to feel bored, unfulfilled, and dissatisfied with the unglamorous task of loving others. It's very hard work to follow Jesus. It requires sacrifice, humility, service, patience, forgiveness, and lots of love. It can be tempting and much easier to focus on specific parts of the Bible that don't require as much endurance, are more flashy, will draw more attention, and will instill a greater sense of excitement. He says, some of us create a Christian platform that becomes our passion, a political agenda, social cause, moral practice, or specific theological belief can become central to our faith, overtaking Jesus' command to love others as yourself. Thus, we get people who will practically fight to the death over things such as Calvinism, infant baptism, and various other causes and doctrines. In and of themselves, these things aren't necessarily bad. Everyone has their own convictions about theological issues, but when things are prioritized above Christ's love, it leads to idealization.
And so, bottom line is the love of Christ is unconditional.
So
when you to complicate love is to make it conditional. Mm. That you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do the other. When you don't have to do anything, yeah. And he loves you anyway.
Okay, so can we focus on I guess the parts where I'm not gonna get into the whole, because that's a whole other show, the stuff about Calvinism and all of that, but where he says, people will get into a fight to the death of such things as baptism and doctrines and all of that. But take it even to a more surface level. We get so caught up in ministries that we forget the whole purpose of ministry in the first place. Is that you feel like that's what he's saying as well?
No, I don't think that that's what he's saying.
Okay, so I think that he's
juxtaposing conditional love with unconditional love, and the tendency for Christians to make the love of Christ conditional, not hold on to the fact that it is unconditional. Therein lies the difficulty of love, because he talks about we'd rather do these other things than love, because that's hard. Because the love of Christ loves unconditional, and I would like to love conditional. You did what I like, so I love you. You gave, you remember my birthday, so I love you. You gave me the biggest Christmas present, so I love you. You see what I'm saying? But the person that's, keying my car and, is late to my dinner party.
Right.
I have a hard time loving them. But those are the people that we have to love. The unlovable is who we're called to love. And so we do complicate the love of Christ by making it conditional. We base it on longevity, the skill sets that people have, the levels of education, and all this kind of thing, as opposed to just loving a person because God is love and he loves everybody.
Amen. Let's keep going. Let's just stick with this for a second. So this part where he says, some of us create a Christian platform that becomes our passion. I'm still talking about this, overcomplicating the love of Jesus. He says, a political agenda, social cause, moral practice, or specific theological belief can become central to our faith, overtaking Jesus' command to love others as yourself. Sticking to your point, is it so we focus on all these other things to avoid this harder task on the other side? Is that what you're saying? So it's easier for me to focus on my music ministry than it is for me to focus on loving my neighbor. Is that what you're saying?
Or even loving the choir members that's in the music ministry.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Let's keep it moving. I think this is going to be the fourth one. Yeah, the fourth one says posting garbage on social media. Uh-oh. Posting garbage.
Amen.
On social
in the in the name of Jesus, break that habit.
Okay. He says the clickbait links of offensive political memes, self-righteous condemnations of others, bitter theological rants, and out-of-context Bible excerpts cause more harm than good. Posting vitriolic, superficial, and offensive content on our Facebook feeds and Twitter accounts doesn't glorify God. Before posting anything, stop and think. Is this true, helpful, inspiring, necessary, and kind? This rule has saved me from putting a lot of foolish and reactionary content online, and it would do all Christians a world of good to carefully reflect on whether their social commentary is motivated by the love of Christ. Hmm. Wow.
I'm in total agreement with that in the name of Jesus. That's a habit that Christians need to break. And sometimes I think that Christians need to remember that they're Christians when they're posting things on Facebook and social media. Because I think sometimes they forget that they're saved. I've seen and read some things that, you know, and I've had to reach out to people and say, you need to take that down and take it down now.
And how was that received?
And they took it down, and they took it down instantaneous. You know,
okay,
but the fact that you have to even say that to somebody, you know,
yeah.
And so you know, there needs to be, you know, a minister of social media at all of our churches that kind of teach, you know, that it's a tool, you know, and then people, young people especially, need to know that employers, they're going to look at your Facebook page right after they know that you applied for the position. They're going to check social media to see, you know, what are you communicating, you know,
online. I have told people this several times, and I said this because I did it myself. As a person who was responsible for hiring, one of the first things I used to do after that, either before the interview or after the interview, or sometimes even after receiving the resume, I would take that email address and do a search on social media platforms just to see who it is that I just interviewed or who it is I'm about to interview. Now, I know for a fact that in the HR world, human resources, that technically is illegal. But I will tell you this, and I've shared this story on the air before. At my last job, I was responsible for hiring, and I was about to hire a young man. His resume was flawless. He interviewed very, very well, and I just did the same general search I did for every other employee, and I put his name in his email address in Facebook. And when his profile came up, the background picture for his profile had swastikas on it. And I said, okay, so then I went ahead and started reading. And then it started talking about how they should take all of people of color that look like me and all these other folk and should be shipped off, send them back to Africa. And if they don't want to go, then we can put him back in chain. All this stuff was on this man's Facebook page. Mind you, he just left an interview with me looking for a job. But this is what was on his Facebook page. Now, you know I did not call him back to hire him because I just said I'm not going to get myself in trouble because I knew at some point if I had hired him, because I did know the Lord as much as I know him now, I probably would have been in jail. So I'm just I avoided that situation. But again, putting stuff on social media puts all of your stuff out there, and people need to recognize that. And as someone that's constantly been beating in my head lately, image, image, image. So you have to be very careful with what you put out on social media. Absolutely. I completely agree. I completely agree.
True.
Yeah. How often do you post? Because you don't post that often. I know you have a Facebook page, but you rarely post anything.
This is true. This is true.
Do you manage your own page or the church does?
I post on Sunday at 7:30. I post on Sunday at 10:45. I post on Wednesdays at 7. I'm posting now.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, is not this broadcast social media?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It part of it is on social media.
I'm trying to tell you. And they figured out a way to live stream on Facebook my sermons and lessons, and so that's how I post.
Yes, absolutely. All right, let's keep it going. Number five, y'all. If you didn't know, if you just tuned in, that's Dr. Gerald M. Dew from the Antioch Missionary Baptist Church that has joined us on today's broadcast.
And that's on the south side of Chicago.
What's the address?
Inglewood.
What's the address?
6248 South Stewart or 415 uh-huh. West Inglewood. Take your choice. Just come to 63rd and Stewart, 63rd and Stewart, two blocks off the Dan Ryan, west of the Dan Ryan, two blocks west of the Dan Ryan on 63rd Street. You can't miss it. It's the greatest church in the world to me.
Uh-huh. All right.
Don't go to heaven until you worship that Antioch church.
Don't go to heaven until you stop by Antioch. That's what
you're
saying.
Listen, you'll be ill-prepared for eternal worship if you have not been
by the Antioch.
I've tried to tell you. We have a service tonight, 7 o'clock. Tonight. Don't miss it. 7 o'clock p.m., 7 o'clock p.m., Central Standard Time. So those of you that are flying in to O'Hare or Midway, listen, you got plenty of time.
I will say this, I have visited the Antioch Missionary Baptist Church several times, and I must say I have never left disappointed. And I will say that their kitchen ministry is wonderful as well. Amen. Let me move on.
I'm trying to tell you.
They do have a very good kitchen ministry. I mean, it's some folk.
Amen. Hallelujah. I have
some anointed folk in your kitchen.
To show it. Yes, Lord.
Number five, being hypocritical. Being hypocritical. Again, we're talking about six bad habits Christians must stop. Being hypocritical, he says, it's easy to talk about God. It's easy to argue theological issues and post about faith issues on all sorts of communication platforms. But in order to follow Christ, we are required to actually put our words into action. As the old adage goes, we must practice what we preach. Unfortunately, too many Christians talk about Christ's love without actually being loving. Meanwhile, the rest of the world witnesses this obvious contradiction and simply stops listening. That's a sermon right there.
I'm not sure if hypocrisy is a habit as much as it is a spiritual weakness or a spiritual condition that we need to be delivered from. Well, a habit, you know, is more of a physical kind of practice that is embedded and ingrained. Whereas hypocrisy has more of a spiritual connotation, that I'm pretending to be something that I'm not, which speaks more to a spiritual condition than it does anything else. You know, and so it has to do with, you know, my spiritual level of maturity, my understanding of the word, you know, my growth in Christ will prevent, you know, hypocrisy. So I'm not sure if that's a habit as much as it is a spiritual condition.
Okay. So let's I understand the whole, we're not going to mix the word with the habit or spiritual condition, but let's talk about this part which is I think a big issue in the church today. He says the last part of that section, unfortunately too many Christians talk about Christ's love without actually being loving. Meanwhile, the rest of the world witnesses this obvious contradiction and simply stops listening. This has, and I'm sure you've noticed this when you've done any evangelical work outside street ministry or whatever. This is one of the first arguments that people throw at you is, why should I come to church and y'all can't even get along? That's one of the first arguments. And people, I try to say this so often, people watch us more than you think they do. They watch you. They watch you, preacher, pastor, bishop, whoever. They watch you go to church on Sunday morning. They watch you in your nice suit and your nice car carrying your Bible. But then they also watch you Sunday night and Monday when you yelling or cursing and they hear you on the second floor, or when you leave in such and such place and when you're doing, they watch you constantly all the time. So you know, they hear how you talk to your neighbor. They know what you preach about, but we hear you talk to your neighbor behind that lives behind your house. So that stuff affects the church universal, because people go around seeing, well, if I see Pastor Dude doing that, then see, that's why I don't go to church, because the preacher that lives next to me, I hear him cussing all the time. I see him cussing. I done seen him doing this. I done seen him throw the finger at folk. I done seen that. That's why I don't go. Now, that's not an excuse not to go. However, you're not giving them reason to go when they see your behavior.
This is true. And so the need to be mature and all of that, and to live what we preach, you know, to practice what we preach, is so essential, because when we don't, it affects a person's capacity to hear the message that we're trying to communicate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mentioned this. I preached on Sunday, and I mentioned this on Sunday. The sermon was about unity, and I said, you know, how can you pray for unity and pray for God to unite us when in the same breath you praying to God to unite us, you talking about five people that sit next to you in your prayer like a dog? How do you expect to unify some folk, and in the process of you unifying folk, you offending them at the same time you praying? So let me say this. So let's say I'm praying at your church. You say, Dana, get up and pray for unity at the church. Okay, and I get up and pray, and I say, well, Lord, you know God, please unite our hearts. God, give us a spirit of oneness in you and all this in God, and then also, God, can you please pray for the pastor's wife that she stay in her own lane and don't bother nobody?
I see. So
Amen.
It's like the two men that prayed in the temple.
Uh-huh. Come on.
You know, Lord,
just
I
like
think
that.
I'm not like that fellow over there. He do this, he do that. I don't do this, I don't do that.
Right.
Okay. Uh-huh. I got you.
Yeah, so how you going to call for unity in that, but in the same breath? Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I equate that to the drug addict.
Some of that, Brother King, the co-host,
mm-hmm.
some of that is learned behavior.
Yes.
Learned behavior. Some of that is, you know, especially if you're talking about public prayer.
Ooh, Lord.
You know that some of that is learned, baby, because we sit around listening to folk pray and we hear stuff to sound good. So we just add it to our prayer. You know. And it may not be our real heart, you know. So we just have to be careful about some of these things that we pick up from other people, especially in the context of public worship.
Amen. Quick question about public prayer, if you don't mind, real quick, and then we can go get the last part of the article. When you have prayer meeting, you know, however they, you know, every church has it at some point, you know, prayer meeting, and I think so. You have prayer meeting and people are praying, and then the prayer, you know, is supposed to continue around the room or however you decide to, whatever the setup is. Do you think some people don't attend prayer meeting because they don't want to be called on to pray, or it's because they don't
know
how to pray? Okay.
Absolutely.
So what can we do differently, I guess? Because everybody is not a public prayer. Some people can just pray at home, you know, and some people can just pray, you know, when they're on their knees before they go to bed or when they get up in the morning. But everybody is not a person who can stand up in the middle of a room and pray publicly, but they do want to come. They do want to be a part of it, but they don't want to be called upon to pray. So should we not, as ministers, as you're a pastor, of course, we don't put that onus on them. Well, if you show up to prayer meeting, you got to pray.
You're absolutely right. But, you know, we do two things at Antioch Church. We win the lost and we make disciples. And a part of discipling a person is training and teaching and modeling before them what a prayer life looks like. both a public prayer life, a private prayer life, you know, what a public prayer looks and sounds like, what a private prayer looks and sounds like. You know, and so sometimes, you know, in the course of teaching and training these different types of prayers, and then you've got prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of supplication, prayers of intercession, prayer for forgiveness, prayer of repentance. You know, so there's a lot of different kinds of prayers. And if a person is trying to learn and become comfortable with praying in public, what we do is we work with a person, you know, in smaller groups, you know, and try to get them first comfortable with hearing their own voice, you know, because you got to get comfortable with hearing your own voice in a public setting. And I think that that begins in a small group with maybe three or four people where you just pray. And then you give a person something to pray for, you know, pray for the children. Pray for the youth, pray for the hungry, you know, pray for the pastor, pray, you know, give them one particular thing to pray for in a small group so they can get comfortable with hearing their voice. And then they can grow from there.
Okay. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. I just ask because I think a lot of times I don't think that should be something to deter people from coming to prayer meetings. But at the same time, it's not, you know, everybody, it's no different than, you know, it's like you said, people are not used to hearing themselves speak publicly or anything like that. So, you know, I don't think we should obligate them to do it because if feel obligated to do it, then they're not going to want to come at all.
Possibly.
So. All right. Let's go. Last one. This is a good one. Number six, being closed-minded. Again, we're talking about six bad habits Christians need to drop, being closed-minded. This is what he says. The problems listed above are often caused by being closed-minded, not considering, acknowledging, or even dialoguing with the infinite amount of diverse factors that exist beyond our own limited experiences. He says, when cultural, ethnic, racial, socioeconomic, emotional, intellectual, experiential, age-specific, and gender-specific factors are ignored, rejected, or simply undetected, Christians foolishly cut themselves off from a vast resource of wisdom and insight. Wow. In the same way, some believers continue to dismiss science, education, and any form of outside information that originates beyond the realm of Christendom, doing so leads to woeful ignorance, irrelevance, and immoral sense of exclusivism.
Yeah, I agree with that. You got to have an open mind.
You know, it's
the closed mind that kept Orthodox Jews from receiving Jesus.
Come on.
Because they
That's
had
true.
In their mind he was coming a certain way, and when he didn't come that way, they was like, this can't be him because he didn't come like we think he ought to come. You know, and then he didn't hang out with the people that we thought he ought to hang out with, you know, and then, you know, all this other stuff. You know, so you know, you do have to be an open mind, you know, but you have to have core values. You have to have core values. You know, there are some non-negotiables that are inherent in our faith. And so even though I'll sit down and listen to you, and I'm flexible enough and open-minded enough to have conversations with anybody about anything, it's not going to change my belief that Jesus is the Son of God, died for my sins, and rose again, and is now seated on the right hand of God, and is coming back at some point in the future.
Amen. I think you're absolutely right, and I think even if you take it to take a little bit more beyond that, you know, being closed-minded to other people's ideas. You know, even if you've been in church for 35 or 40 years and somebody else comes along, you know, I don't think that you should immediately disqualify them because they don't have the amount of inside the church experience that you have. Or because, I mean, a lot of times we'll disqualify people from the business world in the church because they don't have a church background. So, you know, you can have somebody who has an accountant degree and financial background, but that person can't work on your finance committee at your church because he ain't been in church long enough.
Well, therein lies the great danger of the closed mind. You know, and maybe he can't work in the finance ministry, but he should be able to participate in developing the policies and procedures that will govern it.
Yeah.
I mean, because,
absolutely.
I mean, you know, if the guy is a brand new member, you know, maybe he doesn't have the face, you know, to
exactly.
sit in that room and see the envelopes and who's giving what. You see what I'm saying? But in terms of process and procedure, you know, in terms of what's that word? Audits and those types of things, you know, then use the person's knowledge and information, because a number in church is a number on the Magnificent Mile, is a number, you know, numbers don't lie. They numbers.
They come on. I love it. Let's finish this up. So he says, ultimately, he says, although Christians are guilty of doing all of these things and more, it's vitally important to differentiate between Christ and Christian culture. They aren't the same thing. He says, ultimately, Jesus is what Christianity is all about, not political platforms, doctrinal disagreements, online religious commentary, or ominous prophecies. When all else fails, we must do our best to emulate the life of Christ, loving the world around us to the best of our ability. Amen.
Yeah, I agree with that. That Christ, don't confuse Christ with Christian culture. You know, that's the person who says, I love Jesus, I just got a problem with the church. Listen, it's been a joy being your co-host today. I've come to the end of my particular and specific journey for this Wednesday. It's been fabulous time.
Can you pray for us before you leave? Can you pray for the people before you leave, sir?
We just had a whole conversation on prayer. So now, what are we doing? Are we doing a prayer of Thanksgiving, prayer of repentance?
How about we just
benediction? We doing an invocation? What are we doing here?
However the Spirit leads you, just pray, sir.
I see. Let us pray. God, our Father, we first acknowledge your excellent greatness and your awesome power. We know that there is none like unto thee. And as we have looked at some of the practices and habits of Christians that are challenges to our ability to communicate your message to the world, God, I pray that you would give us the strength and power, the ability to acknowledge what needs to be changed and to join with the power of your Holy Spirit and word to change those things, that our walk and our word, our ways, God, would line up with your will. We thank you for this medium of communication. We thank you for the lives that have been touched and impacted today. Thank you for my co-host, God, as we share together on today. Give peace to our community as Chicago comes out on the 24th from 12 to 1 to make a stand about peace. We ask you to be with us as we model to the rest of the world what it means to be a united city. God, we just thank you for every favor that you've given to us, and we ask you to keep us safe from hurt, harm, and danger. Give us traveling grace and arriving mercy. We ask it all in the matchless, mighty, magnificent, marvelous name of the Master, Jesus Christ, we pray. All the people said, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Du, for joining us. For a short time today, we really do appreciate it. Looking forward to seeing you in studio soon. If I don't see you soon, I will be talking to you because we do need to sit down and have a conversation. But I will be talking to you soon, sir.
God bless you, my brother. We'll talk later. I'm out.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Again, y'all, that was Pastor Gerald M. Du, who joined us today to finish up the six bad habits that Christians should drop. Look, y'all, hey, it's been a good show, man. Hope y'all got something out of it. Hope you appreciated it. We thank him for joining us today. Back again, that's Dr. Gerald Du. His church is on the south side of Chicago, the Antioch Church, 63rd and Stewart. You can't miss it when you get off the expressway. If you're going south on the expressway, if you get off, make a right. If you're coming north on the expressway, then you make a left. That's all I'm going to tell you. Just get off, and it's right there, two blocks after you cross the bridge on the Dan Ryan Expressway. Big old Antioch, the Antioch Missionary Baptist Church. You can't miss it. You won't miss it. If you're on the south side, hey, it's a good church. And they got, I'm going to tell you this right now, good leadership, very well organized, good music, good singing, very, very theologically sound. And, I mean, ain't nobody on staff over there that ain't got at least a master's degree in some sort of biblical studies or theology. Nobody on his staff, on his ministerial staff. So you got some teachers over there. And he's also, I need to talk about, he's also now an adjunct professor at the Northern Theological Seminary down here in Lombard, or Oak Brook, one of them down there. So definitely look him up, man. It's good stuff, good stuff. Appreciate having him on the show. Man, look, y'all, it's been a good show. Hope y'all had fun. Hopefully it was good. Thank y'all for watching and for paying attention and all that good stuff. Thank y'all for the emails. Those of you who always email, thank you so much. I'll make sure I didn't miss any before I get off the air. Okay, good, didn't miss any. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for all the listeners. Thank you for my viewers over here on Ustream. I appreciate y'all, my anonymous viewers over here on Ustream. For all of you on Facebook, oh, I was told, let me say this real quick, on Facebook, because my mother put this note up and I didn't read it earlier. I just now saw it. It simply says, good afternoon to both the Rev and his co-host. Reverend King, please thank all of your listeners and Facebook friends for all of their birthday wishes. Yes, I did it. I was obedient. I did what she told me to do. So she said thank y'all to all y'all that wished her birthday, happy birthday on yesterday. And then today, y'all, today is my auntie, my younger than me auntie, as I like to call her, Monique. Today is her birthday. I believe she, wait a minute, she turned, I'm going to tell it. She turned 45 on today. Bless the Lord. That's Monique Marie. Y'all said I told her whole name. That's right. Call it, tell it. Anyway, y'all, I got to go. It's been a good show. Y'all stay blessed, man. Look, we'll be back on Praise Break Friday. Y'all ready? Praise Break Friday. Y'all know it's going to be a stone foolery in here because it's Praise Break Friday. We're going to go and let that in. So, look, y'all stay blessed. Keep your head on the swivel. If you're in the city of Chicago, we got to go. Love you. Bye.
You want to praise him for it now? You want to wait for a manifestation of something else to happen? What you working with? Tap your neighbor and say, what you working with? Because somebody's going to think you crazy in a minute. Now, has God really been that good to you? Has he really been that good to you? One more time, so that you can let the enemy know that you still got the victory.